It's just after 10 a.m. It's time for Ed. Current events, politics, pop culture from Connecticut and beyond. It's Ed Says on the Talk of Connecticut.
Good morning, hello, and welcome to Ed Says. I am he, I am Ed. 888-574-2723, the number into the studio. You're always welcome to call about anything and everything. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the tax reform, the idea of mine, and listener feedback to open things up. As I do take your calls, your tweets, and your emails seriously, I have two emails here that caught my attention. First one from Jeff. Hello, Ed. Really sad that you opted for 1 hour. You need to be on the air more like 4 to 6 hours to offset the other guys at your station. I've tried listening to them, especially Savage, and can take his insanity for no more than 2 minutes. No arguments from me there. Everybody's got their own flavor. I don't agree with everything you throw out there. Recently, the flag issue. I have been reading, studying the American Civil War since I was 6 years old, and do not equate that flag with racism. We had a music director at my church that would not play the Battle Hymn of the Republic because that equated the song with the KKK, even though it is our hymnals and has been played in the past by others. In any case, I understand the arguments made against it and the monuments to Southern heroes and taking a knee. I believe I have the right to express my opinion and hold personal beliefs based on fact and history. So I'm not quite sure what you disagree with me on the flag issue. You do have the right to express your opinion and hold personal beliefs based on fact and history, but I would say that symbols can take on new meanings, and sometimes no matter how much you want ownership of that symbol, it changes. The swastika was historically a symbol of good luck until it was co-opted by the Nazis. So symbolism can change. And I'm not sure where we disagree on that. If it comes to the Battle Hymn of the Republic, or if you believe in, you don't equate that flag with racism, that probably is where we disagree. I certainly don't see as many people upset about that flag being flown next to the American flag as they should be. Number three, when it comes to things political, I agree 100%. Thank you. So I just wanted to weigh in on your show. I'm retired and find myself working on the car. Saying I'm a rare breed. Thank you very much. You need to be on the air longer. Keep up the good fight. I thank you for the compliments, even though, Jeff, we might disagree on a few things. As I've stated, my show is an hour long now instead of two, by choice. I received a promotion of sorts, more responsibilities. And in order to do that, I was given the option to say no more to this. But this show is a passion of mine. And rather than getting rid of it entirely, I opted to keep an hour. Now, whether or not I can maintain this workload, I don't know. But I kind of like the condensed hour. It makes me focus and it makes me go rapid fire, and hopefully it makes people keep up. Another email from Manchester. Karen writes, I must admit I'm somewhat of a new listener to your show, not always catching the entire hour. What I would suggest is perhaps you talk about what you learned from your audience. It seems you're always defending your own opinion. Many of your callers have good comments and are well informed. Keep in mind that they are your customers who also keep you informed. An appreciation hour would be nice. Have a great day. Karen, I thank you. Again, this show started, I believe, January 4th of 2016. So we're going on almost 2 years. Since you are new, everything's new to you. Many of those people that you hear, there are regular callers in talk radio. So we have an established relationship. So if it seems like we're not having the back and forth that one might, it's because I am well aware of what they will say and how it will go, and I am one for brevity. I think time is our most precious commodity, particularly when this show is only an hour now. And saying many of your callers have good comments and are well informed, that is where I would disagree. And that is where the past few days, actually, I've taken great umbrage, particularly with Kaepernick, as I've had multiple callers say things like, well, what is he doing? He hasn't done anything but protest. As if you were required to do anything in order to protest. And in fact, he has done things. He has given money. He has given time. He's very charitable. And those things aren't required. But those people that are calling are not well informed and don't have good comments. because they're not based on the truth. And that is all I base my reality on, is the truth. You are allowed to be upset at Kaepernick. You can disagree with him. But to what level? Calling for his job? Calling him ungrateful because he's rich? How is he ungrateful? That's what he spent the entirety of his life doing. Success does not preclude one from protesting or being involved. Nor should a lower level of success. Money shouldn't even be a factor. But if you think Kaepernick is a whiny rich person, who did you elect president? Who did you vote for? Because guess what? They were both super wealthy people, and one of them whines constantly and is constantly in court and settling. And I don't mean you, Karen. I mean the you out there. Sometimes people get confused when I use the word you. Karen, I thank you for writing. Jeff, I thank you for writing. It is my intention to have useful dialogue, but it is impossible if people are constantly throwing out lies. And that's what I am faced with daily. It is not a matter of opinion when I correct someone. My opinion is that you should be allowed to kneel during the anthem. You should be allowed to sit and eat nachos and go unharassed. Because what I do and what you do are our problems only. If my actions somehow impact your patriotism, how real is your patriotism? Or is it nationalism that you're mad that someone's defying what you think they should be doing? I'm not your child. You are not in charge of me. So if I choose to sit during the anthem or do any number of things, it is not your concern. The idea that they should be forced, persuaded, compelled to stand by their bosses as dictated by the president is the issue. You have the right to stand or sit in this great nation. But this idea of my way or the highway, my way or it's wrong, the way I'm asking it to be is to allow you and all others to make their own decisions. The way those of you who are against kneeling want it to be are your way. My way opens all avenues to whoever wants to do what they want within reason and law. Your way would either break the law or create the law, a new law that doesn't exist. This idea of mine, mine, mine. And it came up yesterday in regards to holidays. And we'll talk about that next here on Ed Says. Before I get into this idea of mine, 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 let's go to George in Glastonbury. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Ed. I'd just like to agree with the first email you read that you should be on longer and not less. And I respect your decision that you had to make on that. But we do need to have more of your vision and your comments on that, particularly on this station, because the two broadcasters before you, they just to follow the whole Trump line. Trump can do no wrong. Trump is an absolute disaster. They're using the flag waving just to divert attention from the miserable failure that this president has been. He's been losing right along. They just want to hide that. And I'm not sure what their aim is, except I know that theirs is a very divisive show, and it goes on emotion rather than facts. And I respect your show. I like to hear what you say, and I wish you would be on a longer period of time. That's all I have to say, Ed.
Well, George, thank you for the call and the compliments. I certainly don't mean to turn this into a rah-rah Ed session, but you're right. I do differ on a lot of things with a lot of shows on this program. And when I mentioned mine, 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 as yesterday the idea of the war on Christmas was raised for some random reason, and I was able, you know, though, happy holidays. Why should we say happy holidays? Well, I was able to, via a listener, Jonathan, who sent me the links, find headlines from the late 1800s that read happy holidays. So it's a long-running war if there is a war on Christmas. And I equated it to a table. You know, the caller said that there are a lot of Christians and out there who, there's more Christians than anybody in this nation. We're a Christian nation. It's not what this nation is founded on. And this idea of mine, mine, mine is seeing the table as one size. And the Christians have a seat at the table, or white people have a seat at the table, or somebody who already has a seat at the table who sees another group who wants the same things they want, the same rights, whether it's gay people wanting marriage, black people wanting equality and justice. They see someone asking for a seat at that same table as an intrusion, as saying, oh, I'm going to be squeezed out, when the reality is that table is big enough for everyone. And the problem I have is the misguided attempts to point out persecution against majority groups. Particularly, it happened this morning on Brad and Dan's show. And I don't mean to call them out, but I happened to tune in, and they made a big deal about a story in New Canaan where over 60 students gathered to pray at the flagpole near the entrance of a school. And they were like, why isn't this a bigger story? What is, why? And Dan was complaining because the president or the principal said, if they get something out of it, or the assistant principal said, if they get something out of it and it helps with their day and to connect with one another, it's a good thing. And Dan focused on if they get something out of it, like, I don't know, like he was downplaying it, which he wasn't. And then he went on to talk about the mainstream press not covering it because it's nothing to cover. Brad's saying the same thing. It should be front page, saying it's illegal to pray at school. It first of all, it's not. And who cares is the reason this isn't front page news. So some kids who are religious got together and prayed. Good for them. You know what? They can do it in school. You can pray in school. It just can't be led by the administration or a teacher or endorsed by them, as interpreted by the Supreme Court regarding the First Amendment. Just as kids can get together and trade Pokemon in school, the kids are allowed to do it. They can't be compelled to do it, just like they can't be compelled to do the Pledge of Allegiance. But the outright hysteria of this attack on Christianity or religion is a falsehood. What the law and what people say is, do what you want. The administration, the leaders, be it governmental or school, cannot force you to. So bravo to those kids who went to the flagpole in some sort of symbolic gesture to say, hey, we want to spread the love of Christ. Good for them. They can do it in church, and they have the freedom to assemble as students. What can't be done is a principal or an administrator or a teacher leading them in it and forcing students who do not want to take part to take part. That is the difference. So that is the reason this is not front page news. And I don't mean this to be an aggression towards the previous shows. It is just false what they're pushing. The words "it's illegal" came out. That is not true. It is not true. You can pray before a test. You can wear your cross. You can do any number of things. So this is not front page news because it's not news. People praying, I hate to break it to you, is not newsworthy. And downplaying the assistant principal or the vice principal's statements, he's just saying if it helps them get through the day and make friends and communicate, then it's good. So whether it's praying or playing Pokemon Go or doing whatever else, that's the statement. You just put weight on this prayer because it means something to you. And that is this idea of mine, mine, mine. This, I know what's best because it's the way I do it. I was raised Catholic. I was in the military. My family did this. My dad did this. Well, your experience is not the only one. And it is not the template or the blueprint for others. That is what's beautiful about America. I am free to live my life as I see fit. So just because you lived a certain way, do not force it on others. And I'm sorry if we lost Don. I was looking forward to talking to you, Don, based on the quote that Eric put in the information here. Let's go to Mark in West Hartford. Go ahead, Mark.
I came in late. Are you there?
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, so I came in late, but I did hear, I think one of your shepherds, you said, sent you something that's really old, and it said Happy Holidays on it. So can you assure me that they said happy holidays for political reasons and being politically correct back then.
So
like,
here's
I
the
can
thing,
confidently
Mark.
Tell
Mark
you,
let me talk. Let me talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is not politically correct to recognize that others might not celebrate the exact holiday that you have. Let me illustrate for you. Say you have a family of five, and one of them, one of your family members, gets in a car accident and requires a wheelchair. Now, four out of five of you don't need a wheelchair. Do you go out of your way to maybe recognize that you might need to put in a ramp instead of steps for that individual in the wheelchair? Or do you go, nah, most of us can walk, do it yourself?
Your analogies stink. I'm sorry.
You stink, Mark. Goodbye.
Can we get back to it?
Goodbye. Get out. You know, we were on a good run. We were on a good run, but you are so stubborn. What Happy Holidays is an acknowledgement that your little circle of life is not the only thing that exists. This idea of a Christian nation is not the reality. Just because 99% of the nation could be Catholic, practicing Catholics, Christians, whatever you want to call them, is it still not okay to recognize that there might be somebody else celebrating some other holiday? And it's not however you describe my analogy. It's a perfect analogy. Because four of you can walk, do you ignore the one that can't? Because four of you celebrate Christmas, do you get to make all the decisions when it comes to, or is it just in good taste? Is it smart of advertisers to maybe not alienate part of their base? Do you feel alienated? Guess what? Because you feel like you're giving up that seat at the table that I mentioned. And I can't apologize for that. You need to be a bigger person. You need to worry about you. You can say Merry Christmas to whoever. You know what? It reminds me of when I did a your mom joke to a new employee. Your mom jokes, they're funny. He and I had a good rapport. Ha ha, funny, funny. He said something, and I was like, yeah, your mom, or whatever. Well, come to find out his mom had died months earlier via cancer, because of cancer. Now, I didn't know that. And now that I did, I certainly wasn't going to make your mom jokes. So is that politically correct of me? Or is that just the polite thing to do? So if somebody doesn't celebrate Christmas, do you continue to run around and go, Merry Christmas? So if 30%, 20% of your possible purchasing audience doesn't celebrate Christmas, do you just continue to say Merry Christmas? Or do you include them and say Happy Holidays? Happy Holidays isn't exclusive to Christians. It is inclusive to everyone. It is not politically correct. What it is recognizing that there isn't one type of person in this nation. And if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with America. Because Americans come in all colors, all religions, all genders, all sexualities, all shapes and sizes. They don't fit into what you want them to be, and they never will. And if you have a blueprint for what an American is, you're wrong. You are un-American. And if you feel like they have to live up to whatever standards you want, and if you continue to play the victim, you are the problem. Nobody is stopping you from celebrating Christmas or whatever religion you want. They're just asking you not to push yours on them. That's not too much to ask. We'll be right back. Let's see. You can't handle the truth, nor would you know what it is, says Delbert. And what is that truth, Delbert? That is the extent of the email. You can't handle the truth, nor would you know what it is. You can email me, edsays@talkofconnecticut.com. Walter writes, frigging a-hole. You know the two guys respect your show when people call complaining about you. They say they don't comment on other shows. It's called respect. Also, my two friends fought in Iraq, came back with one leg. The other was deaf and blind, defending our country. Guess your parents didn't tell your stupid ass what the flag represents. That's why you stand and respect it. Again, that goes back to the caller who didn't have time for me but decided to call me a piece of S multiple times, calling it his flag, saying I am okaying people disrespecting, quote, my flag. Don, you who called but hung up, it is not your flag, just so you know. It is America's flag, and this goes to Walter. All due respect is due to the previous show. Walter, and I respect them and their achievements and their long-running careers, but that does not excuse them from creating hysteria out of nothing. The fact of the matter is prayer is allowed by students, even in groups. So a bunch of them praying around the flag isn't newsworthy. But victimization is easy. Let's see. Carol writes, two flag wavers that precede you give you a headache. Lavallo doesn't even attend church. Well, I don't even know what that has to do with anything. Davis supposedly attends. I don't care about anybody that goes to church. Oh, turns out I'm getting a bevy of emails that my mic was on during the break. Well, I hope that wasn't too offensive for anyone. Eric, please make sure that doesn't happen again. Hopefully I just said I'm going to get water, but who knows? Because there were people saying things like, I'm a piece of S because I disrespect their flag. You don't own the flag. And again, this isn't about you. This is about people not forcing people to do things against their will. Let's go to Carl in Farmington. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Ed. Just wanted to know, why is it that it seems that when people call in and you guys have a difference of opinions, that it just seems that you're so condescending and derogatory towards them, even insulting as far as calling them names and what have you. I just don't think that's necessary. You probably can, you know, get a lot more with sugar than honey. And I understand this is a, you know, controversial talk show and people have opinions and you also have yours. But, you know, it's nice to hear a talk show host, as well as the commentators, the people who called in, to be a little bit more respectful of the individual. You know,
so,
that's all I just wanted to say.
Carl, you're not wrong.
Yep.
You're not wrong.
I'm wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right. And I strive to be better. It is the point of my show to be better. Unfortunately, what you probably happen to hear are those regular callers whom I have a relationship with, at least on the air, who I guess as regulars I treat differently because I keep hearing the same things parroted from them over and over. And when they're falsehoods, I have just but enough empathy, sympathy, and compassion and understanding that eventually it runs out. If it's a first-time caller and I'm getting to know them and there's a give and take, I tend to be more understanding, and just like anybody else. But when it's somebody who's a regular caller, and by regular I mean anywhere from 2 to 5 days a week I hear from them, and it is the same thing every time, I tend to cut it short. I tend to want to open up space for other callers. And yes, my frustration does boil over because there is no discussion. It is often them talking over me. There needs to be a back and forth. You are correct. But often when faced with facts, they turn tail and I am forced to cut the call short, or at times my temper gets the better of me. I'm human.
And, you know, and I appreciate that because that's honesty, too. And that's true. We all are. And I know that we all have a tolerance point, you know, or where we're pushed. And, you know, and I suggest that you constantly, because I hear it on other talk shows as well, that, you know, if you constantly get the calls over and over and over again, you know, maybe just on your behalf, or just go to a different caller, you know, and not give them as much airtime. Because I understand that you got callers in there that constantly want to, you know, berate you and badger you and what have you. But I just think as a talk show host, you know, you guys have a platform that can actually make it a lot, you know, easier and more receptive towards the audience, you know. And that's all I wanted to say, Ed.
That's fair, Carl. I thank you for the call. And I don't disagree with you. It's something I've been trying to drive home since the inception of the show, that it is two-way. There is a certain personality that will gravitate towards calling. Carl, I think this was your first time calling. If my memory serves me correctly, I could be wrong. I apologize if you've called in before. But I would invite you to call again. Or I would invite you to tell someone else who you know who listens to call. I would invite anyone who has never called to call. I need fresh voices. I like fresh voices. The people who call every day, that's fine too. But it does. You're right. Maybe I feel bad blocking them out if they get through. But I don't have any bans. I don't have any call limits except for once a day. That's the only limit. And maybe I should. because I have enough to say, and then maybe that will spark someone else. But as I had an emailer the other day say they don't call because they don't want to take the time from their boss. They don't want to cheat their boss. And I respect that as well. 888-574-2723. What I was talking about was this idea of mine, mine, mine. And because it came up yesterday with a caller talking about the war on Christmas, which, again, isn't real. And then it came up this morning with the guys in the morning talking about this prayer around a flagpole. As one commented, it's illegal. It isn't. The question was, why wasn't the Main Street Press covering it? Because it was covered by the New Canaan Advisor. Because it's not. Would you cover a bunch of kids getting together to play Dungeons and Dragons? Or anything else? No, it's a group of people with a shared interest doing anything. Is this a protest or were they just praying? I'm not sure. They said that it was held outside of school hours, outside the school building. And they said for global unity in Christ and for students all over the world. Well, here's the thing. That's fine if that's what they're asking for. But personally now, and even when I was a student, I'm all for students all over the world having it good, but I don't need global unity in Christ. That's fine for you, and you can pray for that. The difference comes in if people had been forced to take part in it. That is what I am saying. This victimization by people who aren't victims, looking for a way to paint themselves as victims, is problematic. It is the table. This table is big enough for everyone. Saying that you can't force a student to pray your way isn't saying a student can't pray. Saying a teacher or an administrator or a school can't force students to pray isn't taking that prayer away. Nor is saying happy holidays taking away your right to celebrate Christmas or your religion. What it is inclusive. As I said, I used, which apparently was a bad analogy for one of my callers, if you're a family of five and one of you gets in an accident and needs a wheelchair, you recognize that need and you do things about it. You at least acknowledge it. You don't go around going, well, most of us can walk, so you're on your own. What the term happy holidays does is recognize that that person that you are encountering might, just might, not celebrate the same holiday you do. That's all. And if that's too much to ask for you, then you are limited in your amount of human decency. And honestly, in your just being polite. And in its relation to the flag and kneeling as opposed to standing or sitting, again, there is no law, there is nothing that compels you to have to do anything. You should, but there's a lot of things you should do. You should use your signal when you're driving. In fact, that's required by law. You should walk on the right in a hallway. You should not walk while texting because you should not text while driving. Again, that's against the law, but I bet plenty of you do it. So there's a difference between something that's against the law that you have to do and sometimes don't and should. There is no law that requires you to do anything in regards to the national anthem. And that's what makes America, America. So that earlier caller, Don, who had so many great names to call me, but didn't make it on the air and called it his flag, my flag, it is not your flag, sir. It belongs to everyone who is a citizen of the United States of America. Whether they were just naturalized yesterday, they were born today, or they had served 50 years in the military, the flag equally applies to every individual. And how they regard it is up to them as codified by law. Let that sink in. So wrapping yourself in the flag and calling yourself a patriot is easy. Actually understanding what being a patriot means and upholding the ideas behind it is another thing entirely. Let's go to Solomon in East Hartford. And Eric, if you can give me a rundown of who is still on hold, please do. Solomon, what's going on?
Hi, Ed.
What's up?
Yeah, I was trying to find out if what is going on. I was trying to find out if what is going on in the NFL.
Yeah, what about it?
you know, the NFL might transcend to the NBA?
I think there's a possibility.
Okay.
It would be interesting to see how many. I certainly saw, you saw more people get involved in the NFL, as it's been a deal, as big deal has been made about it by the president, and he seems to think that this is a bad thing. I just want people, I thank you for the call, Solomon. I want people to be aware of nationalism and just look up Nazi Germany and how many flags there were and how you were forced to regard the flag and what you were forced to do in the name of nation. And tread carefully. Let's go to Joe in Newington. Good morning, Joe.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, as far as Christmas and all that goes, I'm pretty sure when you look at history, the very early Christians never celebrated Christmas or Ishtar, Easter, or whatever. If you look in the Bible, it does say getting a tree and nailing it down and decorating it with gold and silver is not correct. It's not a good thing to do. It says that right in the Bible. So all these people talking about Christmas, you know, supposed Christians, it's really not a biblical as far as my study of it.
Well, and there's a lot of people who say it has its roots in pagan holidays, which is just hilarious to me. It can have whatever meaning people want. I thank you for the call. Just, you can't force other people to feel the same way. I love Star Wars. I have an office full of Star Wars stuff. I have a tattoo of Star Wars. It's ridiculous. I almost named my kids after Star Wars characters, but I didn't want to burden them with that. I wanted to come up across their love of Star Wars naturally. I mean, I'm going to force it on them anyway. I shouldn't burden them with the name. But I get it when people don't like it. I look at them quizzically and go, I don't understand. But I'm certainly not going to indoctrinate them into it. My wife has seen each movie. Actually, she hasn't even seen Revenge of the Sith yet. We've been married for 5 years. Together since 2009. She still hasn't finished the prequel trilogy. And that's okay. Like, you, this idea that everyone has to share your beliefs and your passions, I don't think you need to think like I do. If you want to worship, you can. If you want to stand and put your hand on your heart for the flag, you can. But you can't compel anyone else to do what you want them to outside of the law. And the law normally covers people imposing their will on others, whether it's through assault, whether it's through stealing property, or, you know, whether it's through embezzlement, like the effect they have on others. You're pretty much free to do things you want. Just stop forcing it on other people because they want to live the way they want to live. To answer the question of that anonymous caller who decided not to go on the air, yes, I have accepted a Christmas gift. You know why? Because I celebrate the secular version of Christmas, unless you think a jolly fat man in a red suit has anything to do with Christ. I was raised Catholic. I'm well aware of the history of it and the secular version of it. They too can coexist, and they can actually intermingle if that's what you choose. But yes, I celebrate the secular. I actually was in church until, I think, age 13 when I was supposed to get confirmed, and then I was like, I'm good. My wife attends church. My son was baptized. My daughter will be baptized because that's what my wife wishes. And I see no harm in it. I told her when that kid decides he doesn't want to go, there isn't any, you have to. He just doesn't go. And if the next week he says, all right, I want to go, then he can. I'm going to leave it up to both of them. If it interests them, it interests them. If they find another religion that they gravitate to, they're more than welcome to. I am not, again, going to push my non-belief on them. Now, should they choose to get in a conversation with me at some point in life, we can talk about it. But yes, I don't know what you were trying to prove by asking if I've received and given Christmas gifts, because I get into the season. I don't know what your question was about. In fact, I actually attended church 2 weeks ago to help my wife, because she wanted to go and she wanted to bring the new baby and our son. And I didn't want to say, honey, I'm not going because I don't practice. I'm not going to go. I said, honey, because we're married and we're a team and a partnership, I'm going to do something that I regularly would not because it's not for me, I don't agree with it, to help you. Why don't you try that attitude a little more? Instead of the, it's Christmas, it's ours, it's mine. Do you try just doing something for others? Let's go to Mike in Glastonbury. Good morning, Mike.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Ed. I have a quick quote here from a former BBC broadcaster regarding people or how people agree and disagree. This is just a one-liner. His name was Malcolm Muggeridge. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He died in 1990, so that may be almost before your time.
I was alive.
Okay, well, then you may have gotten this one by ESP because I think you inherited something here, as I always have, too. And his one-liner is, never forget that only dead fish swim with the stream.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because anything that's alive is exploring and moving around from an amoeba to a physics professor. Everybody is kind of actively thinking, contemplating, testing, measuring, estimating. And that's what I don't see a lot of in the broadcasts of people who argue. I'm talking visually or people who take a knee, as they say, which sounds to me like somebody advertising prosthetic devices. But I think anybody that's alive has got the right to disagree with themselves, and I do so with myself half a dozen times a day, and I hope your listeners do too, and I know you already do.
Well, Mike, I thank you for the call and the quote. Let's go to Larry in Bridgeport. Good morning, Larry. What's up? Larry, are you there? Going once. Going twice for Larry. Oh. Anybody else left on the line? Give me an update there, Eric. 888-574-2723. If you want to get in as we wrap things up, let's go to Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Yeah, hello, Ed.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, you know, your program used to be 2 hours. Now it's just 1 hour. I hope they don't take you off the air.
No, so, as I've explained it, I was given other responsibilities here and given the option of staying on for 2 hours, for 1 hour, or giving up this show completely. They left it in my hands. I said 2 hours, I would not be able to commit to the excellence, for lack of a better word, and be able to do my other duties. I am holding on to this hour as long as I can.
Okay, good.
I feel like I can dedicate a portion of my day to the research required and my evening. And this discussion. So an hour I'm going to hold out as long as I can and hopefully not become overwhelmed by it.
Let me just make a brief statement here. You know, all of this national anthem business, what everyone's losing sight of is there's a pattern here. And it comes from George Soros. And it started with Occupy Wall Street, went to Russian collusion, Black Lives Matter, climate change, New World Order, removal of Confederate statues and Confederate flags. There's a pattern, and George Soros is behind it. And George Soros, who your listeners, they must know who he is an evil international Jewish bank.
There we go, Scott. Thank you for the call. Soros is the boogeyman. You mentioned Russian collusion. You mentioned Black Lives Matter, the white supremacist movement, Antifa. It has been proven that Russian operatives purchased ads as Black Lives Matter to stoke the flames. The Boston Antifa, I believe, which isn't a thing, that account was proven to be based in Russia. I mean, everything you just said is not the work of one man. It might be the work of one regime. And Russia has definitely taken part in and executed one of the biggest, for lack of a better term, psyops on this great nation. And we fell for it, hook, line, and sinker because we lack critical thinking. Let's go to Betty in Glastonbury.
Ed.
Yes, go right ahead.
We need you on for 2 hours.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. I actually enjoy the hour because it condenses everything. If that is the case, if there are enough of you out there that need me for 2 hours, please Email my bosses. Call the front desk. Go to the people that sponsor this show. Do
we have to come out and protest?
No, please don't protest. Please just email or call. And again, this is my decision. I was given some other stuff to do. I want to make that clear. I was given the opportunity to continue 2 hours, and I chose not to because with all the other stuff I do, I didn't think I would be able to deliver the product. Now, I didn't give up the show entirely because I still want to do this. I want to be a balance to what is out there. And I don't think I'm right about everything. I just think I'm definitely a balance. But what I strike my truth on is the ability for Americans to make up decisions for themselves. And,
right.
If you are pro making people do things, whether it is go to church, whether it is stand for the flag, whether it is marry who you think they should marry, whether it's anything, you are on the wrong side of America. That is what this show stands for.
Right. That's right. I agree. That's why we need you, because a lot of people don't ever get to hear it from an appropriate view, must I say.
Well, Betty, do me a favor. Tell five of your friends and tell them to tell five of their friends, and maybe we'll make this little show grow to a size where they force me to do 2 hours or three
or four. Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. But thank you so much. I enjoy your show.
Thank you for listening.
Have a good day.
You too. And I did not mean this show to be a rah-rah Ed show, but there are plenty of people out there who, when I made the announcement about going to an hour, were like, oh, now it's going to be canceled. Ratings must be terrible. Again, it was entirely my decision. And maybe I just don't want to be overwhelmed. Could I have done 2 hours? Sure. Would I have had to spend more time here? Yes. Do I have a great work-life balance right now? Yes. I get to pick up my son after daycare. Doing a two-hour show would add an hour to my day because of the other stuff I do, and that would mean I wouldn't pick him up. I'd have to figure something else out. And, you know, walking in that door and watching him run to me with his arms open, smile on his face, going, Daddy! I mean, that's what I do all this for. I work because I, you know, need the money, got to pay the bills, and to take care of that little guy. And every morning when I wake up and come in here, my end objective is to get there to see him and the rest of my family. And I bet that is yours, too. And that's at least one thing we have in common. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.
The views and opinions of Ed.